B-Pod Studios.
We got a great show going on off the air.
We're thinking of things we'd like to do to Jody Arias.
Now, keep in mind, death penalty, life in prison. Haney and I
We're advocates for life in prison.
Yes, and periodically put her through a session of humiliation.
Yes.
And that we were talking about all kinds of things. Think of her.
They should hire us.
Yes, because we could come up with good stuff. Think of her. And Haney and I were talking about this. Think of her being in like an interview room where you got the glass mirror.
She's behind a table. The idea here, we don't want to hurt her.
No, pure humiliation.
Or at least not bad.
Right, a little bit. But then release a full-grown chimpanzee.
With a rope.
With a rope to swing on in there to scare a little bit.
How about that? And then you were saying, hey, let's amp it up and bring in a baboon.
Yeah, a fully engorged male baboon.
All red
or blue assed. Ready to go in.
Now, the only thing is, a baboon could really hurt her.
Yeah.
So she'd have to be in like a small shark cage.
Yeah, put her in a cage.
So the baboon can jump up on the cage and shake him.
The bars.
Yeah, well, he's shaking himself,
Show them teeth.
Yep. Show the teeth and everything else that's bothering
that's
him.
That's what we'd do to her. That's just the beginning.
Yeah, but then there are more subtle things that we talked about doing. Like in her regular cell, because she'd be called out for humiliation sessions.
Yeah.
But then she's got her regular cell where she's got to spend most of her time.
Yeah.
And we can't be there all the time.
No.
So what we'd want to do is set up a device to pipe in. It's kind of like when you're walking through the parking lot and, oh, yeah, what's that? Oh, it's that steakhouse over there. Oh, that smells so good.
Yeah, or the smell of fresh bread or cookies.
Exactly.
And then feed her oatmeal.
Yeah, we want to pipe that smell 24/7.
Yeah.
You know, changing it up 24/7 and not say a thing about it.
No.
But just bring her nothing but oatmeal.
Yeah.
And then the day will come when she finally goes, are you guys cooking? I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't smell a thing here.
No.
This is a jail cell, sister.
Just oatmeal.
Eat your mush.
This is a prison. You know the dumbest thing that she did?
What?
She did that in Maricopa County.
I know!
What did she think was going to happen?
Yep. With
Sheriff
Joe out there.
I thought of another one.
What?
Come in with a piping hot pizza. If you can, find out what her pizza chain of preference
was.
Yeah. Yeah. Come in with it. Walk up to her cell and go, yeah, this is for 3B. Is that you? And she'll go, yeah. Oh, no, you're in 3A. Sorry.
Sorry about that.
Yep.
Or do the Haney. Pizza comes in. Ms. Arias, this is a pizza. And then throw it on the floor and kick it and step on it.
No. It has to be there.
Yeah.
And she'll realize that her neighbor is eating her favorite pizza.
Oh, and that will really get, because it may make her want to kill the neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, maybe wait a couple of weeks, do it again, but give it to the person across from her, and then she can see
him eating it.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with humiliating Jody Arias.
The one thing for Arias, maybe put her in like a glass box, and then, you know, you could do the tooth thing and then shave her head, but just put her on display so everybody can see.
Oh, yeah. Haney and I kicked her. Putting her on display. That would be another good one, shave her head. Clipper.
Yeah, well, that, and just, you know, the teeth and everything, and then just, she's just out there, and everybody can just walk around like she's just some kind of exhibit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shave her head, and that way you'll have a variety of wigs to put her in.
Oh, yeah.
And then I found that you can, if you want to break somebody, forcibly dress them as a clown.
Yeah. And the thing is, she likes wearing those glasses in court. Make her the only pair of glasses she can do anything with are them Groucho ones with the big nose and the cookie duster mustache. And she's got to wear those. And there's no way you can break off the nose or anything. You want to read or something, you're wearing the Groucho glasses.
It's like something David Copperfield would have, but you got to secure it. like a rolling plexiglass cube.
Yes.
Where you can push her through the mall.
Yep.
Let people stop
yep.
and point.
Or even do what we were talking about, put her in one of them gerbil balls. Put her in there.
Oh, she can escape.
How? Make it so big that it won't fit through a door.
Still worried about the escape.
You know, or put it in like the center of the mall court where it has like the skateboard edges on it. So yep. she starts walking and it just rolls her back down.
Yep. You could handcuff her, put her in leg irons and have a big old Duncan booth.
Yep.
And she'll be gagged, ball gagged.
Yeah, ball
gagged. And kids can shoot paintballs at her.
Carnival dunk tank.
Yeah. Kids can shoot paintballs and
yeah.
try and dunk her, whatever they want. Allow kids to walk up and be openly disrespectful to an adult.
Yeah.
I still like that baboon, though.
Oh, yeah.
And shaking the bars.
Yep. Yeah, and he's fully engorged.
Yep.
And red ass. Yeah. And showing them teeth.
Unless it's blue ass.
Yeah, and she's in the cage.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't want her to get hurt. We just want that baboon in full bloom.
Breaking news.
Jody Arias moved to psych ward. Transferred to different jail under suicide watch.
See, we're busted already.
Yeah. Oh, no. If you're on suicide watch, you can still have some fun.
Just wanted to make sure you're all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you like something to help you sleep?
I had to do that when I was at the facility. They would put me in charge of suicide watch. And the way that
What's
works,
your record, by the way?
100%. Nobody went and offed on my watch.
Well, good for you. It's something to be proud of.
Yeah. I'll tell you what my idea is. But I was kicking around the office with D-Train before the start of the show, looking for my next thing that I need to do. I'm looking into becoming a notary.
Stand
and from what D-Train tells me, it's do it all online. And then I want to be able to seal stuff
a great hobby.
That's what I want. I want a hobby being a notary.
It can be a lot of fun. Yep. You can marry people. Yep. That can be very lucrative.
Documents that are at best shady, I can still let them go through.
Sure. But what are you going to do the first time that you are called in front of a judge as an officer of the court and questioned as to why you notarized this document?
I plead ignorance.
You're not allowed to as
a
notary.
You have taken
an oath.
I'll take the oath. I'm not a notary. I want to become one. Now, from what D-Train's telling me, zip, 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 this thing's done.
Zippity-doo-dah.
I want to be able to. You know how the notaries have that little pouch and then they have their seal?
Mm-hmm.
I want to have my own seal where I can emboss on a piece of paper and sign my name, and it's a legal document.
Now, that's interesting.
What?
I was thinking about that, too, but not in that way. I was thinking about the old seals with the wax where you had a signet ring.
But if that's still acceptable, that's what I would have. If it's like you can do the emboss thing.
Where you could send somebody out to do your bidding.
Yeah. We were just talking about that the other day. The wax that you put on the and then seal
and
it depending with that
on,
ring.
And depending on what area they were in, that would either protect them or get them killed.
Right. If I can become a notary with that seal with the wax, that looks very official, too.
Well, just a cautionary tale.
What?
And this does not involve a notary. The same sort of situation where the state of Florida has vested trusts in you.
A lot of people around here, trust me.
I had a friend many years ago.
Who was a notary?
No, I told you this does not involve a notary.
Oh. I want to be a notary. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
He was a very nice man.
Yeah.
Well, let's just say that.
On the surface.
And was industrious on the surface. Seemed to be a hard worker.
Right.
And he was doing construction work and things like that.
Sure.
And one day, one of his a-hole buddies, who knows more than everybody, was sitting there and using a dry toilet on a high rise.
Oh.
And told him, you know what? With my felonies, I'd never be able to do it, but you could do it. And it's a license to print money. He decided to become a home inspector and go into business for himself.
Do this
came fast and furious because he was a newly minted inspector, therefore had no calendar, so was getting calls right and left.
Yeah.
About 3 weeks later, he left town. I've not heard from him ever again.
Yeah.
And when I began asking around why, the one person that he spoke to before he left, he was getting sued because he inspected a house that was full of problems, and he signed off on it as A-OK and was going to get sued personally, lost his license.
Scratch the home inspector idea.
Well, the same thing can come into play with a notary where someone may give you a fee and say, hey, can you do these papers for me?
Oh, I can't be bought. I will not be bought.
Then why are you becoming a notary?
You think I should be bought and then I can become a notary?
No, people are supposed to pay you for that seal.
It's like $25.
That's where that errors and omissions come in. You'll be protected.
Yeah, I'm protected.
And he's bonded.
I'm bonded with like $75,000 bonding.
Uh-huh. How much is that going to cost you?
$75.
It's all part of the package.
So, So what happens when the when the bad paper starts coming in, D-Train?
I'm covered. Got coverage on
it. Is his mic shut off?
The bond that protects the client, the errors and omission, protects Stan.
So if Stan is just running roughshod with bad paper all over the place and becomes known as one of those, but he's not connected, so he's not protected.
Well, he's not above the law.
Yeah, I'm not above the law.
So what happens to him?
Nothing.
As a bad notary.
I'm sure there's some fines and some jail time involved, but
why
you keep
are
it in
you
the dark.
Assuming
no, see, you're
that
covered.
I'm going to be a bad notary?
You don't hear fines and jail time. You hear I'm covered.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he checked into it. I'm covered.
He just checked into it. Fines and jail time.
If he gets caught and found guilty.
What? If he gets caught, you're
why
right.
Are you guys judging me already? I'm not even a notary yet.
But I'm on your side.
No, you're not a notary, and therefore you don't have that worry. Not a worry in the world about that.
I want to find out, you know, at some point today, email has being a notary, good or bad, has anybody been, you know.
It's got an upside, sure.
I just have a feeling.
You become more popular.
That's what I'm thinking.
You become more popular.
Yep, people like me.
Because people will be having conversations that have nothing to do with you.
Yep.
And then it'll... Oh, you know, Stan's a notary.
Yes, I am.
And then your phone will start ringing.
Right, and then I drip that wax and put my ring on it.
I have a feeling that when I come into work, all my paperwork on my desk is going to have his seal.
Yeah, it'll all be notarized.
Oh, I got to practice.
Yeah. Because all gotta official,
practice, make
all
sure
on
works.
The up and up.
Everything's official.
Yep.
Like the stuff that he tells me we got on the show today, I'd notarize it that it's official.
Exactly.
And
you have a complaint about something here at the station.
Oh, now look.
Notarize it.
Can you imagine if you and I had a true beef with somebody up in here, upper management?
Mm-hmm.
I'd notarize
it. Start notarizing stuff.
And it's official. And they have to respond to it.
You'll need a witness.
And they send
witness.
And they send us a nasty letter. Then you notarize that.
See what I'm saying?
And it'll make them uneasy.
See what I'm saying?
I see exactly what you're saying.
Let's get this ball rolling.
I think that's great, you know, that you want to do that because it ain't going to be me.
Yeah.
Tom Smith, please.
You know what? I answered the phone. You don't have to go through Tom, Brock.
Hello, Mr. Beasley.
Now, guys, you know, I know I could sense some animosity on Stan's part.
No, you couldn't sense any of that, could
you? Stan, please.
But I think it's time. I know it's time for us all to come together as a team now. Let's all get pumped.
Okay, we're all pumped.
Yep.
So what's going on, Brock?
We brought in a motivational speaker. The gentleman's name is
Haven't
Jeff.
You brought in enough of them?
Hey, man.
Don't you know how to
believe
run your
I believe I just gave you a directive, and that is to get pumped.
All right, I'm pumped. Who did you bring in?
The gentleman's name is Jeff.
Jeff. Who's Jeff?
He's a motivational speaker. He's actually from Naples.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know what? It was a breath of fresh air because a lot of times, you know, we all go about doing our jobs and day in and day out, and you know we can get a little bit stale.
Yeah.
And what he said really resonated with me, because he was saying, he said, you know, at the end of the day, we all need to get pumped.
Yeah.
In order to get pumped,
right,
What you got to do is be passionate.
Right. I've heard all that before.
And to be passionate, you got to get outside your comfort zone.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Now, I'm assuming you're bright enough to know your own call letters.
WRXK.
Uh-huh. Now, I'm going back to trying to tell you how this man inspired me to think out of the box.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've been thinking about it. It's WRXK K-Rock.
Yeah.
Now, Jeff is very talented and inspirational. And he has his presentation is called MILF.
What?
MILF?
MILF?
Yeah, it's a, what do they call that, a homonym? The letters stand for something.
Okay.
I think it's called a homonym.
An acronym is what it is. Do I have to, acronym.
To see where each letter stands for
I
a word.
I understand what it is.
And what MILF stands for is Managing Idiots, Losers, and Freaks. This man jumped up on the banquet table. I think what they call the dais.
Yes.
Yeah. You hired him, and he belongs to what?
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, I was real skeptical because we paid him a lot of money.
Right.
And he jumped up on top of the dais.
Right. The table.
And
dais. Yeah.
He had some sort of suit where all he had to do was just rip, and the next thing you know, he's completely nude.
What?
And, I mean, I was ready to call security, but he ripped off this suit with one swift motion, and lo and behold, he's all nude and he is oiled up, and he doesn't have the best physique.
What the hell are you talking about?
Then he came by every table, and he hugged everybody.
He hugged.
Nude.
It sounds like you got a stripper there, just friction dancing with everybody.
So he goes up, finally gets up to the microphone, and he's got a big old Texas grin on, and that's all. And he goes, everybody out of their comfort zone now. And then we all laughed and was relieved at the same time.
Right.
And then somebody threw him a towel.
Okay, good. Cover up.
And he said, now that everybody's out of their comfort zone, I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, I've had to overcome a lot in my life. He said, you may not know it to look at me, but I've been through some stuff. As it turns out, he was a victim of rape.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
He stood up there and told us his story, man. It'll make your head spin. He's been through some stuff. He not only was he raped, but he was raped by not one dog, but two.
Two dogs?
He was raped by two dogs.
Oh, God.
And I mean, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, he had my attention. I'll tell you that.
Okay. So he got been.
What I'd like to do now.
Yeah.
His name is Jeff.
Yeah.
He changed my life. Yeah. He's going to change yours.
Yeah.
Let me just.
No.
Give him
what is it? Some kind of setup to get him on the air?
He's going to be on the air and he's going to be your mentor.
No, he's not. I don't even know who Jeff is. And from what I hear right now, sounds like
I don't know what a mentor is. I said, what is that, the fresh maker? And they said, no, somebody that works with an employee.
Okay. So what, you've hired this guy to work with me?
Yeah, he's going to work. He's going to do a little one-on-one with you now. He's going to come over there in person.
No, he's not. No.
But let me nudge him and try to wake him up here.
What are you in? You're in your hotel room, aren't you?
Yeah, I told him he could bunk with me. He was going to drive back to Naples, but he ended up having more fun than he thought he was. Uh-huh. See, and I said you shouldn't be driving.
Bunked with you?
Oh,
been raped by two dogs.
Yeah, he's stirring now.
This is
so. Listen,
this is
I know
weird
you're
for me.
I know I'm not your favorite person.
This is
we'll
too
just
weird.
Let that be for now. but I want you to treat this gentleman with respect because he's been raped by a dog. Two of them.
Two dogs.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Oh.
So hold on a second.
All right. He's sleeping in your bed.
Wake up there, sleepyhead. Oh, he's awake.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He's
all right, I'm going to let him talk to you for a few minutes, and then he'll pass it back over.
But I don't want to.
I got to go get some ice.
I don't want to.
All right. Here's Jeff.
No, that's okay.
Hello?
Jeff?
Hello?
This
is Jeff.
It is not Jeff.
What have
well,
you...
Well, my given name is Jeffrey.
What have you done?
I go by... Jeffrey sounds more professional.
What?
I go with Jeff with 3 exclamation points when I'm functioning as a motivational speaker.
Oh, you know, I always knew you were a pro, but I didn't know how professional you were. You've got this all mapped out real good. Who the hell do you think you are?
I'm Jeff.
No, you're not. You're Joffrey the Panty Waste, who lives with 2 dogs, Princess and Pepper, and your wife wears the pants of the family, you f*** you.
Oh, my God.
He's an effeminate heterosexual. He's not a gay man.
What the
hell?
Oh,
my God, I can't believe I get to be your Mentos.
You ain't nothing to me!
No, Mr. Beasley has hired me to hold your hand.
No, no. You know what? I don't want you anywhere near me. And I'll tell you right now, cupcake. I'll tell you right now. As soon as I get done with this show.
I like it when you call me cupcake.
You
said you were negative.
I'm going to go and get a restraining order on your ass because you're not getting anywhere near me. What the hell are you doing down in Miami sleeping in Brock Beasley's hotel room?
Champagne makes me dizzy.
All oiled up, fully nude, going and telling a story how you were raped by 2 dogs, you sick bastard.
What a small world.
What are you? What, and this is, you don't
and
have
now
you don't
we're
going to
be working together.
No, wait, you don't have no legitimate company. You're,
I have been hired by Brock Beasley personally because I changed his life last night.
Oh, God.
Let me tell you something.
What?
He may come across rough as sandpaper, but when you get him going, he is just a chatty Cathy.
Uh-huh. Where's your wife? Your beard?
In Naples.
Uh-huh. And she?
Oh, and she is going to be so mad.
Why is that?
Probably thinks I was out whoring around with all the hot supermodels in Miami.
You were whoring around, but it wasn't with any female supermodel.
Anywho.
Restraining order. Restraining order. You are a perv. Hello. Good.
Oh, no. Should I get him back on?
No.
Brock will be very mad.
You know, I do have something to say to Brock, though.
Oh, help me, God. You hung up on Jeff.
Hold it. Do you know who he is?
All I know is I've got a very sensitive man here that's been raped by not one, but 2 dogs, and he is sitting here sobbing.
Did anything...
He said you hung up on him.
Sir, did anything happen between you and him last night that you remember?
He changed my life. He literally changed my life. And then you hang up on him, he is sitting here sobbing, and I've just hired him to head up our corporate radio assistance program, or crap.
You have just made a horrible, horrible corporate mistake. Why?
What is your last name?
Why do you always drive the good ones away?
What is your last name?
Nawalonic.
Well, you're not making any decisions.
Well, I can make a decision for me. I can make a personal me decision.
You know, I had hoped that
you're
this
not
going to be. I was hoping that this was going to be a positive thing.
No,
and
it's not.
Might finally turn your sorry ass around.
Don't and you stop threatening me.
turning my sorry ass around.
Okay, I'm not going to threaten you anymore.
No, you're not. If I have to go and get an attorney,
Stan,
I have to go get an attorney, I'm going to file a restraining order, and I'll get an attorney, and I'll win.
He seems to like you.
Oh,
he's very hurt.
You just met him. He doesn't know anything about me.
He seems to like you. He's just very hurt right now.
Because he's been stalking for the last 13 years. He's well aware of who I am, what this show is, and he's not going to go and be involved with me company-wise or personally in any way, shape, or form.
Well, we'll see about that.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Okay.
See you later. I'm going to a judge. Going to a judge.
Let's get pumped. Let me talk, Tom.
Hey, Brock.
Yeah, listen, show's over now?
Yeah.
All right, well, once you get the studio cleared out,
yeah,
I want you to take that son of a bitch out back and kneecap him.
You know I can't do that, Mr. Beasley.
Well, in a perfect world.
I know.
We were talking earlier about the study released in the Thursday edition of the New England Journal of Medicine about the benefits of alcohol. And one of the researchers who were involved in this study is on the phone with us right now, Dr. Miles Bender. Good afternoon, doctor.
Good afternoon to you.
I appreciate you coming on the air.
I appreciate you allowing me to spread the word on this study.
Now,
save a lot of lives.
I hope so. You hear the reports all the time about the negatives about drinking alcohol, with the exception, I heard back, of drinking wine and the benefits to your heart. What has this new study shown us?
The new study has shown that alcohol is of tremendous benefit to overall health, especially when you're dealing with heart problems, cardiomyopathy, and things of that nature, that alcohol is, in reality, a wonder drug.
It's a wonder drug. Are you coming right out right now saying that alcohol is, in fact, a wonder drug?
As far as heart disease and things of that nature, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. Okay. Absolutely. What I always tell my patients is, take a look around. There's more old drunks than there are old doctors, so I guess we better have another round.
Haney, you got a question?
Doctor, aren't you afraid that the advice that you're giving out here so freely may create a nation of alcoholics?
Well, as far as creating an alcoholic, that's overrated. Would you rather be an 80-year-old alcoholic or a dead 50-year-old sober person?
But are we really talking about alcoholics here? I mean, didn't the study specify that maybe one drink a day would be beneficial, but if it goes beyond that, it may be a problem?
No. Now, if you're going to speak about the study, you need to be factually correct.
Okay, I would like to be. I don't know too much about the study except what I've seen.
What the study shows is that you should drink as much as your body will tolerate.
What?
Going back to the previous question, I'm not concerned about alcoholics because they're already covered. They're already taken care of in that sense. Where we're concerned is when you're dealing with these teetotalers, older women in particular, that believe that alcohol is of the devil and things of that nature, and so we've got to convince these grandmas to go out and slam back some shots, as many as they could stand, and understand that it's medicine. It's not a social taboo. And just try it, and maybe you'll like it and live healthier.
Now, doctor, I understand that from what I'm reading on the study, and again, I was not participating in the study such as yourself, but it said that the benefits, the health benefits for younger people, let's say in their 20s and early 30s, was virtually nil. There were more negatives to drinking than positives.
No, I don't know what you're reading. You start early. And do it often. That's what we're trying to get across to people, is that the benefits are just enormous.
Uh-huh.
And there's been such a societal stigma on alcohol in general.
I see.
That's all well and good, but at what point do the benefits outweigh the risks, or vice versa?
I'm not sure I understand the question, but... The benefits are tremendous, and the risks are nil.
That's not true, doctor.
In any normal diet, you will ingest carcinogens every time you eat a sandwich or a bag of chips.
Now, I also, reading the study, and I don't know if I'm looking at the same one you are, doctor, they also tied in with smoking, that most people who do drink smoke, and... You know, the smoking, drinking will not help a smoker way or the other.
No, that's another misconception. Now, while we do know that tobacco is very dangerous,
yes,
we find that heavy drinking offsets that risk factor.
Heavy drinking does.
So if you're going to smoke, for Christ's sake, don't stand around and drink coffee trembling. Toss a couple back and calm down.
Now, I see.
We don't know exactly if it totally eliminates the health risks of tobacco. But if you're going to smoke, by all means, drink, and drink heavily. The only protection you got.
I see.
Vitamin C isn't going to help you.
Right.
If we have time, I'd like to share a couple of ideas for the holidays coming up and whatnot, and how, if you're not a drinker, how you can integrate it into your life.
Okay, let me get the phone numbers out, and then you can tell us some of that information. If you want to talk to Dr. Miles Bender, 277-9600. You were, in fact, one of the researchers in this study?
Yes, sir. And it took a very controversial.
It is very controversial.
And we had to make sure we had all our ducks in a row,
mm-hmm,
before we come out and say this, but it's good science.
Are you a drinker yourself, doctor?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go to the phones. Hello, you're on the air with Dr. Miles Bender.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Bender?
I'm doing very well. Have you had a drink yet today?
No, definitely not.
Well, I encourage you to get one.
I got to ask you a question. What kind of a malpractice do you run up there?
You know,
is he questioning my credentials?
Yeah, he is questioning your credentials. What are your credentials, doctor?
I'm Dr. Miles Bender. I'm the chief of cardiology at the University of New England College of Medicine, Waterbury, Connecticut.
Annie, you got a question?
That's all well and good, but at what point do the benefits outweigh the risks, or vice versa?
I'm not sure what you're talking about. The benefits are evident. It's good science and has been shown, and we've done blind tests. We've done everything that we could not publish this, sir, if we didn't have the science behind it.
You did study on men and women.
Yes.
We studied pregnant women?
We studied pregnant women, teenagers, senior citizens, and the result is always the same.
I see. Hello, you're on the air with Dr. Miles Bender.
Hey, I agree with him 100%, man. Drink about a bottle of wine and about a six-pack a day, and I never felt better.
Well, there you go. The proof's in the pudding. If I could get back to ways that you can, especially during the holiday season, if you're going to start this regimen.
Yes.
You should start holiday traditions.
As holiday traditions. Now, what should we? Christmas time is here.
A great day to really, and people do this with their New Year's resolutions. Now, most people, as a rule, will have some drinks on New Year's Eve.
Yes, they will.
And if they're not accustomed to the alcohol, chances are they won't feel too good. on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Well, here's how to get around that.
How do you get around it, Doctor?
The holiday tradition at the Bender household begins at 10 a.m. New Year's with mimosas. We watch some football, have some Bloody Marys at noon, and then some eggnog. And then we have wine for dinner. And
you mean wine with dinner?
No. And I want to tell around the holidays also there's a tendency to overeat.
Yes,
now that
yes.
is unhealthy.
That is very unhealthy.
You'll find that the alcohol will help you to curb the appetite. Don't snack during the day.
Uh-huh.
And if you must eat, try to eat a big meal after 8 p.m.
I see.
That's the best way to do it. And whatever you do, do not do any sort of physical exertion, any sort of exercise, because it speeds up the metabolism, could possibly let a blood clot loose. You're probably aware that they've talked about aspirin in the past.
Oh, yeah, that it's actually a heart benefit, especially after somebody has had a first heart attack.
That's not true.
It's not true.
if you're going to go on alcohol therapy,
uh-huh.
you should avoid aspirin at all costs and instead replace it with acetaminophen. And, if you get yourself on an alcoholic regimen, you'll be fine, and the holiday season is a great time to start. Don't wait till New Year's Eve. Have a cordial now.
God, this has got to be a joke. K-Rock, hello, you're on the air with Dr. Miles Bender.
Yeah, I was wondering if I had a heart condition, if he could give me a written consent so I could drink on the job.
Oh, no, good question.
By all means, and that's something that society is going to have to deal with. We're going to have to take away the stigma. And people are going to have to learn that this is therapy.
Yes. What's your drink of choice, Doctor? I mean, you talked about mimosas and Bloody Marys and wine, but you must have a drink of choice.
I'm fond of a lot of things. If I were to be stuck on a desert island, it'd probably I'd choose Glenlivet.
Are you drinking right now, Doctor?
I try to regulate my intake through the day so that I'm able to function. But yes, I'll have wine and.
Are you drinking right now, though? Do you have a glass right next to you?
Yes, I do.
Of what?
Malt liquor. Drink up, drink often.
Yes, well, Dr. Miles Bender.
You know what? Especially for the older people out there that maybe haven't yes. had a drink in a while, you need to learn to suppress the gag reflex. Because if you do vomit,
yes.
it will extricate all of the alcohol from your stomach.
Yes.
And it's not able to work its way into the bloodstream where it works its magic.
I see. A revolutionary study with one of the researchers right here, and I want to thank you so very much for coming on. Dr. Miles Bender, thank you again.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Bye-bye.
Okey-doke.
All right, bye-bye.
Ahoy.
Hey.
Ah, jeez, I can't believe this.
Sorry.
That's all right, Tony. I mean, it's me. A lot of it's me. I'm sorry, buddy. Put down the smoke and what's on your mind.
Well, I know everybody's been very concerned, and I just wanted to let everybody know that I'm okay. I'm back home now.
You're okay. You're back home now. I didn't even. What are you back home from?
A hospital.
You were in the hospital?
What, you didn't know?
I had no idea you were in the hospital. You know what? We go tooth and nail at it sometimes, Tony, with your boneheaded ideas and that Big Tim. But if you're in the hospital, I think somebody should at least let me know that you're in the hospital.
Well, that is very perplexing to me.
What do you mean it's perplexing to you? I'd want to know if you're in the hospital.
Well, because the nurse told me that you had sent me flowers.
I didn't send you flowers. Maybe the D-train took it upon himself or something. I didn't know you were in the hospital, and I don't know that you would want flowers.
And there was a nice note.
What did it say?
It said that you were very concerned about me, and that despite any differences, that you love me.
But we never said you were in the hospital. We never did it. That's all. That's got to be Timmy. You know, he's got a heart of gold. Simple, simple. Got a mind of a five-year-old, but a heart of gold.
So the fact of the matter is,
I didn't know you were in the
hospital. Nobody knew and nobody cared.
Look, I would have cared if I had known. I'd want to know if you were in the hospital or not. I'd go and see.
Okay, well then, so you would have sent me flowers.
No, I wouldn't have sent you flowers. I just would have, let people around town know that the reason the restaurant's closed, you're in the hospital. What were you in the hospital for? That's what I want to know. Let's drop that, whether I knew you were in the hospital or not. Why were you in the hospital? Are you okay? Heart problems again? Stroke? What, did you get into one of them coughing spasms from all the smoking and you were coughing up blood? What?
I don't know nothing. Because evidently, one minute I was fine, and the next minute I was down. You know, we had a lot of damage from the hurricane, sure. And I was working on it.
Yeah. And, you were working on it. You're about 90, and you're working on it.
Well, I ain't nobody to help me.
Oh, come on. When you go... Look, Tony, if a storm damages a building, you have homeowners insurance. Never mind on that. You have FEMA that can help you. If there is structural damage to a dwelling.
All of that stuff, it's phone calls and paperwork. I don't have time for that. And the way I was raised, you don't work, you don't eat.
Right. And what were you doing? Eating your own food when you passed out?
I was hammering nails and painting.
Since when are you a carpenter? Let's even drop any of this. You're 90 years old. You don't want to fill out paperwork for FEMA, and you have no insurance on the place. How can you even see a nail to hit, let alone you have no carpentry experience?
No. And I can't tell you anything because I don't really remember much.
What, were you hitting the head with a board or something?
No, the doctors say that the incident was medically classified as a gastrointestinal infarction.
Yeah, that's the food. Yeah, did they remove anything from you? Like a stick from your... Did they remove anything? Did you have a organ taken out or anything?
Well, I don't know what they did. I just know it hurts, and they said just be careful.
But it stinks and too.
The problem was we right before the storm we'd gotten in a load of frozen seafood, and it was about to turn. And I was, waste not, want not. Uh-huh. I figured if the Japanese eat it, it should be fine.
You can't do that. Wait, now let's just stop. All right, you were in the hospital. You had some intestinal issues. You don't remember much of it. The food was going bad.
You really, here's a tip for you. It saved you a lot of heartaches.
Yeah.
Seafood needs to be iced down good.
Of course it does. If you got seafood in there. And I don't know what the hell you got as far as seafood goes. It's going to go bad.
The odor. My God.
It stinks and it hurts. Now, you're not a carpenter. Are you saying that the storm damaged your restaurant?
Yes, there was tremendous damage. And
tremendous.
The signage was taken almost completely down.
Oh, my God.
When I came out of my safe spot after the storm, because I was watching the TV, and they said, get ready to take it up the rear, Cake Coral.
Uh-huh.
And the sign was almost completely destroyed. There was a couple of letters left where it said crepe. And you know that sign's been up there forever. That's what I see after the storm, and when I come home from the hospital, what do I see? There's been vandalism, and it's a sign above my restaurant that just says crap. You see?
Uh-huh. I find it funny.
Not only does nobody know, nobody cares. Yeah, my life's work is a joke.
Yeah, finally, truth in advertising. Crap. Sorry, I'm sorry, Tony. You've been in the hospital. That's my bad.
Well, and then, of course, the first thing I do is go and try and get a step ladder and go up because I can't. I saw red when I saw crap on my building.
You're not a carpenter.
And Timmy physically restrained me, and he said that he had tried to take it down, but they had actually reinforced the sign with some sort of adhesive, and it won't come off.
Now, how much work has been done? Are you
and
all
miraculously, despite the difference,
the
C, the R, and the P still light up.
Amazing. Are you open for business? You obviously closed down. Is the restaurant open?
Look, it's got to be open. It's not open right now.
It's not open right now.
I finally got through to my distributors.
Uh-huh. A lot of people took care of that, but again, you were in the hospital.
And there is supposed to be a truck coming on Thursday afternoon.
When are you opening? You have to keep your business open to have income, Tony. You're not made of money. When is the restaurant opening?
Well, that's where I need to ask you just a little favor.
Oh, now that's why. The only reason you called. Not to say about the hospital. You want to ask me a favor? Sure, Tony. Anything for a friend, especially a friend in need.
Well, I gotta get the printer an answer by 5. He said maybe he'd wait till 5.
You know what? Haney and I, D-Train, Dave. Maybe we'll get even Zito and Matt Mangus to help. What do you need from us? Because I want to see you get back on your feet, buddy. You know what? I want you back on your feet in full operation. What do you need from us?
God bless you.
No problem, buddy. In times of need, we're there for you. What do you need?
Well, this is going to be big because I got a fellow owed me a favor, and I'm getting some of them big skylight things like they have in Hollywood.
Oh, like the searchlights.
Yeah, I'm going to get some of them, and it's going to be a special event on Saturday night from 6 to 10 p.m. It's going to be the Talk of Cape Coral. It'll be the grand reopening of Cape Crape and Chowder.
Oh, so this Saturday, 6 to 10,
everybody, if you can show up there, I know you draw a crowd, and everybody will be there. For the grand reopening of Cape Crape and Chowder, and we're going to be serving real roast beef. What do you call it, Jimmy? Roast beef sliders.
Oh, roast beef sliders.
$3.99.
Well, that's a good price. All the fixings come with that?
No, that's just for a roast beef slider.
One slider is $4? One?
You can't beat that deal, can you? Getting a sandwich under $4.
Oh, for crying out loud. It's a slider. It's not even a full sandwich. When is this again? Because I got to get with the guys. What night again?
I got to make it a big event.
When?
I got to make it the place to be in Cape Coral.
You know that we can do it.
From 6 to 10 p.m.
This Saturday night.
Yes. Because I'm rushing to try and get everything in place. And that's why I wanted people to understand about the sign that says crap. I can't do anything about it. I know it's there.
And we can't be there. We can't be there either Saturday night.
Any other night. Do move it to Sunday night, Tony. Move it to Friday night. We can't do it. So we got bike night in Cape Coral.
No, I can't. Friday night is high school football. Sunday is NFL. Everybody in the restaurant business will tell you you can't do that.
Tony, Saturday night is bike night in downtown Cape Coral. And it's a big night.
No.
The radio station is selling tickets for this event, and it's going to be right where you want to do this grand reopening with the Searchlight and sliders. None of us from the radio station can support this, Tony. It's on the night that we're doing bike night in Cape Coral. That's a big night. You should have let us know. I mean, have them do the construction on the thing. You can have a sponsor tent over at Bike Night. We can't be at that restaurant. There's no way we can be there.
Right.
Tony, I'm sorry. We can't be there Saturday night starting at 6 p.m. because at 6 p.m., we're going to be in like a half mile from you. We're going to be in downtown for bike night. We got Budweiser behind us on this thing. We can't go and say screw it and show up at your restaurant's grand reopening for $4 damn sliders. I'm sorry, Tony. I'm sorry. We can't any other night other than Saturday night. Can't be there.
If I understand you correctly,
yeah,
there's a big deal going on less than a mile from my restaurant.
Yeah.
With some heavy hitters behind it.
Yep.
Stan, I understand.
Thank you.
You know, it's priorities. What's got to be done.
Yeah, it's got to be. I can't do it.
It doesn't matter. It was sort of a last-ditch thing anyway. If I don't write a substantial check on Monday, I'm going to lose it all.
Oh, come on, Tony. I can't. Then let's do it on Sunday. Tony.
There's no point.
Let's play Stan's What's on the List. I'll give you the category. Top 10 answers on the board. Your job is to get one of the answers. If you're the first person to do so, you'll have your choice of a prize. Phones are on lockdown. Here's the category. This should be pretty easy. To a point. According to a recent survey, a solid 92% of couples say they like having sex somewhere other than the bedroom. We have the top 10 things people said that other than the bedroom where they have had sex. Top 10 places. It could be in your dwelling. It could be outside of your dwelling. It could be somewhere else. But these are the top 10 places couples claim they have gotten it on when not in their bedroom. Not in the bedroom. 277-9600. Phone lines have been released. Name something on my list. Top 10 answers. You get it, you get a prize. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Alex.
Alex, you're first up. Name it on the list. Other than the bedroom, where people like to get it on?
Oh, I'm going to say the car.
You would be absolutely right. Number 4 on the list, a parked car. A parked car, number 4.
So we have to specify.
Yes, yes, a parked car. What would you like?
Rockville tickets? Yeah, I'll take the Rockville tickets, man.
You got it. Hold on.
Rock on.
Yep. Of course, Rockville and Jacksonville, May 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
So I don't want to give away anything.
Right.
But your clarification begs clarification.
Okay.
So is in a car off the board, or is there a more specific answer?
No, in a car, it's off the board.
Okay, because, so, if I said a moving car...
That would, no, and we don't encourage that.
Because you made a differentiation.
Yes. They say parked car.
Well, it happens.
Yeah, I know that.
And how do you define having sex? I mean, are we...
Getting it...
Are you going by the Bill Clinton...
The
definition of what relations...
The beast with two backs. The act.
So not a simple release.
Not the foreplay or a simple release. This is...
Well, some call it foreplay.
Yes! This is where, you know...
Some believe it's gone far enough at that point.
But, we'll say a car.
So, off the board.
Off the board. A car is off the board.
I just thought I'd clarify, because I would have immediately said moving car.
Right. And things can be done unsafely in a moving car, depending if you're a good driver or not.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what we're this is the... Remember when the late Hector Macho Camacho was still alive, and he used to live up Clewiston way, and he used to get pulled over from time to time because he was doing about 90 in his car while the lovely lady was on his...
Yeah. It's good to be king.
Yeah. 2779600.
Now, we know about the times he was caught, but how many times it was like...
Right.
You're Macho Camacho.
Yep.
I'm not saying a word.
Yep. Haney and I were in Vegas when he fought De La Hoya and got his ass kicked.
Yeah, we were there.
Yeah. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Pete.
What did he say his name is?
D.
D. What? What's your name?
Pete.
Pete?
My name's Pete.
All right, Pete.
He fought De La Hoya.
Okay, yeah. I'm hanging up on you. You can't even turn your radio down.
Well, that wasn't very nice.
I'm sorry. He can try again. If the phone's ringing. Now, if you got a busy signal, chances are the lines are jammed. But if your phone's ringing, turn your radio down.
Pete, here's what happened. You had the radio on in the background, and it's on a delay, so it confuses everybody. So if you call back in, just call in. He'll put you on hold and make sure your radio's turned down.
Oh, no, I'm taking these calls cold. So here's the deal. If the phone is a-ringing, turn your radio down.
There should have been a rhyme there, Stan.
I don't... Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
This is Bert.
And here I was. Yeah. I just got done congratulating you on Malou, and you go and you leave us hanging where there should have been a rhyme.
Yeah, if the phone's a-ringing, you shouldn't be singing.
There you go.
Who's this?
This is Bert.
Bert?
Bert.
Yeah, it's your buddy, Stan.
Yeah, you've won before, and you're giving me a fake name now.
It's my real name, Bert.
It is not. I know it is not. You've won something in the last 30 days, because I've given you a bunch of prizes.
No, I have not.
All right.
Not under the name Bert.
Not under the name Bert. You got.
I haven't won anything.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. What do you got, multiple addresses and names?
No.
Bert?
The computer will know.
That's right.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bert. What do you think's on the list, other than the bedroom?
In the shower.
That is the number one answer. That is
really?
The shower or bathtub.
Man.
What would you like, Bert, big time first winner?
Pewter mug.
All right, hold on.
It's fine. You can put him through because the computer will find out.
One way or the other. 92% of couples like having sex outside the bedroom. Recent survey asked them, well, if not the bedroom, where? We have shower, which was number one, shower or bathtub, and number four, car. There's plenty left on where this one came from. Ahoy, who's this?
Courtney.
Oh, Courtney, you probably have a few that you have to choose from, don't you?
I'm excited, yeah.
All right, Courtney. We have shower and bathtub. We have car. Where else?
I'm going to say pool or a hot tub.
Pool?
Gotta be there.
Or hot tub. Let me make sure.
I think so.
Just hold on. You know what? Not there.
Unbelievable.
That's unbelievable.
She was robbed.
I had to have been number 11. Not there. And I would have thought for sure it would have been
How
there.
Many stories do I do in the news yep. about mishaps in yep. the hot tub?
Yeah. All right. You know what? I would have thought for sure it would have been there. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, guys. It's Lawrence. How are you?
Lawrence, nice talking to you, buddy. You think you know something on this list?
Oh, yeah. Living room.
Living room.
Yes, sir.
Hold on.
Favorite.
Hold on.
Not exotic, but it's practical.
It's very practical. Specifically, the living room is
floor.
Not...
No?
I'm trying to save you, Lawrence.
All right.
Specifically, the living room is not on the list, but there is usually an item in the living room.
The couch.
There we go. That's what I was looking for, Lawrence. Number 8 on the list, the couch. What would you like?
Pewter mug?
Yeah, we can set you up with the pewter mug. Hold the line, okay?
Awesome. Love you guys.
Love you too. Hold on. Yeah, the couch. You know, I'm looking at this list and I swear to God, a hot tub or a pool should have been there. But it's not on the list.
Makes no sense.
No. So we have number 1 was a shower or bathtub, number 4 a car, number 8 a couch. Let's give it another shot here. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Chris.
Chris?
Yes.
All right, Chris. Go
ahead. I think maybe in the elevator.
Elevator? Not on the list.
Yeah. Don't go with Aerosmith songs.
Yeah. Love it in elevator.
Living it up when I'm going down.
Now. 2779600. 92% of couples say they like having sex elsewhere other than the bedroom. Well, other than the bedroom, where?
La, da, da, da.
Ahoy, who's this?
Brandon.
Brandon, we have shower, bathtub, we have car, we have the couch. What else?
Laundry room, washing machine.
Yes, sir. That is on here. And it is, where am I on the list here? Hold on. Number 7 on the list.
All right.
On the washing machine.
That makes it, and the hot tub doesn't.
I know. Spin cycle. What would you like?
Let's do some golf. About Palmetto Pines.
You got it. Set up for Palmetto Pines. Hold the line, buddy. Nice job.
Thank you.
Sorry, it was just bringing back a memory.
You probably shouldn't talk about it.
No, I'm not talking about that. And again, that was so long ago.
And you probably made it up anyway for the radio.
Yeah. I made it up for the radio.
Yep.
That memory that it just floated by.
Just trying to help, Stan.
That was all made up for the radio.
Just trying to help.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that, buddy. It's just radio talk.
Yep.
Two seven seven 9600, allowing me to compose myself for just a second.
There you go.
Thank you.
It'll be fine.
Yep, I'm good.
Probably nobody knows. Nobody heard anything.
I doubt that highly.
I'll tell you right
maybe
now.
Maybe you misheard.
I'll tell you what's going to happen right now.
What?
Maybe somebody didn't hear, but it will now go back third or fourth hand to God knows what you'll be accused of.
Yeah. All right, let's give it a shot here. Ahoy, who's this?
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
Robin.
And then you'll be accused of flirting with Robin.
Yep. Well, no.
Come on, bring it on.
Okay. Whoa, Robin. Can I introduce you to my friend Haney?
Hi, Haney.
Hi, Robin. Are you a flirty flirt?
I am.
Oh, I love it.
I call everybody sweetie.
That's nice, doll. Can you tell me what's on this list, Robin?
How about, kitchen table?
Kitchen table. No, not on the list. Not on the list.
Too bad, Robin.
Yeah. Are people getting hung up on because they keep saying that they won a prize and what to do? Only one person? The guy with the one that...
The troublemaker.
The troublemaker. Okay. All right. Back off, troublemaker, because you know what? We busted you. You're in the system. Okay? It's like being a juvie. You're in the system.
Yeah, you got priors.
How about here? Ahoy, who's this?
This is Tom.
Tom, let's see. We have shower bathtub. We have a car. We have the washing machine. We have the couch. What else do you think's on here other than the bedroom?
The beach.
Yep, number nine on the board. And that, and let me tell you right now, that's not what it's all cracked up to be. People think that's something special.
Well, you know why? It's from here to eternity.
That's exactly right. What can I get you, buddy?
What kind of food did you have?
Let's see. I got Bam's Restaurant. I have Subway. I have Pewter Mug.
I'll take the Pewter Mug.
You got it. Hold on. My people love the Pewter Mug.
Well,
for good reason.
Why wouldn't they?
All right. We'll do a couple of more. Hey, you're doing pretty good. How many are left here? 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, well, you got half the list is gone. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 5 are left. We'll try to get through a couple of more of these. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bye. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy.
What?
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
This is Ryan.
Ryan. Have you, you've won stuff before recently, haven't you, Ryan?
Not recently, I think.
Okay, you got a horrible phone, and the chances
are... All right,
are,
make it quick.
What do you think's quick?
How about a hotel room?
Hotel room? Hotel room. No, not on the list. No. Ahoy, who's this?
It's Robin again. Can I guess again?
No, you already tried, Robin. How dare you?
Now you're offended.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Ahoy, who's this?
This is Zach.
Zach? What do you think's on here? We got shower, bathtub, we got a car, we've got a washing machine, we got a couch, we got at the beach.
I want to say camping.
Camping.
Yeah. Like tent?
In a tent? No. Oh, all right, here we go. This here. Here is the list. You got 5 of them. And trust me, some of these, you got 5 of them, 5 you didn't get. Let's go from 10 to number 1. Recent survey asked couples confirmed. Solid 92% of them say they like having sex somewhere other than the bedroom. What were the other places? Here are the top 10. Nobody got number 10 in the garage.
What?
Look, you don't know how people are going to react to these things. Number 10, in the garage. Number 9, somebody got this one at the beach. Number 8, somebody got it on the couch. Number 7 was, and it was gotten, on the washing machine. Here are the ones, 2 that you didn't get. Number 6, come on, the Mile High Club on a plane. Number 5, like a
doctor. Well, that's pre 9/11.
You're right. Like a
like a Dr. Seuss book. Got on a plane. Number 5, on a train.
I would not do it.
Number 4, somebody got it. Car. This is where it gets creepy a little bit here. Number 3, people. This was the number 3 answer. In a tool shed or garden shed. Think about like your home and you got the little shed out back. Well, let's go back there. Just don't let a rake hit you in the ass.
Unless that's your thing.
Unless that's your deal. Number 2, in your backyard. If you got the privacy fence, you want to go outside, feel the grass on you, in the backyard. And then number 1 was the shower or bathtub. There you go.
Time now for Memories with Grandpa.
I'm worried about picking up the phone today because I did not call Grandpa last week. Cross your fingers. Hi, Grandpa.
Is that you, Stan?
Yeah, it's me, Grandpa. It's me. What? What's wrong, Grandpa? What's wrong?
Saints be praised.
What? What is it? This because I didn't call last week?
I thought I'd been left all alone.
No, Grandpa. Oh,
I thought I was going to die alone.
No. Oh, I feel so bad now. Grandpa, I was...
Oh, my God.
Grandpa, I was... No, it's okay, Grandpa. Oh, I feel horrible now.
And you should, you room. Who do you think you're talking to?
Oh, what? That's all fake tears. Fake tears. I assumed it.
Line and sinker.
I assumed it. Fake. Yeah, because I know my old man learned something from you, and that was fake crying when he wanted to get a point across.
You boob.
Yeah, you're the boob. You know what? You're a boob. You're an insensitive, pompous ass. That's what you are. You're talking to family. I'm your grandson. And you want to go do the whole crying routine, and then I feel bad for you.
That's right, and you're basically yelling at yourself.
All right. I thought I was trying to comfort you.
Well...
But evidently, I'm wrong. So I guess you didn't miss my call last Friday. It was no skin off your nose.
I was ready to take your call. Should it have come through?
Uh-huh.
But it just allowed me, your grandpa, he had a little time to ruminate on things.
You were ruminating on things.
Well, so it was your birthday recently. Did you contact your mother?
Yes, I talk to my mother all the time.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that, because that's the two people that give a rat's ass about the day you were born.
Hold on a second. Are you telling me that the day I came into this world and your son and his wife had a bouncing baby boy, you weren't proud of the fact, and it was a bright moment in your life? You're telling me it didn't do nothing for you?
You always you act like a woman. You see, you're so pansified. I'm not talking about being there the actual day when you were born. I'm talking about celebrating the anniversary of that day.
Why then did we throw so many birthday parties for you? Why?
Here's the problem with your birthday. And I'm going to speak to you very frankly. The day you were born, you're correct.
Yes.
I can remember it like it was yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I remember that your mother complained a lot. And I remember when your father and I went down where they got that big window there where they've got a, probably 20, 30 screaming innocents.
Yeah, that's the way they used to do it there. And they used to have all the babies in the room and keep them all warm. And the fathers and grandparents and grandparents would go and see the newborn baby into their family. A new addition into the family. And they were so proud.
Well, your father and I were looking into that window and discussing the possibilities that there's another one of us. There's another Stan in the world, and you'd better put the world on notice.
Yeah?
You took my name.
Yes, I am
and
the
you
third.
You had an obligation to live up to it.
Are you saying I didn't live up to it?
Your father and I were looking in that window at you, and we were so overjoyed at the prospect of another Stan in the world that we had a big slap fight right in front of that window there.
A slap
you,
fight,
you
yeah.
would have seen it, yeah.
Yeah, and...
And, of course, yeah. we were both terribly, terribly drunk at that time.
Oh, sure, I bet.
What
else is new?
Smoking cigars,
yep.
And, you know, come to think of it, I left you a perfectly good country, and you and your kind have run it into the ground.
How has my birth running a country into the ground? And if we're running it into the ground, why don't you look at this generation of kids?
Well, you dropped the torch.
What do you think I should have done, Grandpa, to save the country? You dumbass.
Well, I'll tell you this, you allowed women to just run wild.
Do you think I allowed it? Do you think I allowed it?
Well,
but the way you ran your stuff when you were a young man, it was virtually torture for the woman. You've told me all the stories about Grandma and how you treated her so poorly.
When I was coming up, I appreciated the generation that come before me, and looking back, I appreciate them even more. When I was a young man, there was no such thing as driving under the influence. There was no such thing as rape, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
It's the truth. They used to just make sure, get it home
and
safe.
Back in my day, if there was going to be any divorcing going on, it was going to be from the man, because he found his secretary attractive.
How did I ruin all this? Why are you putting it all on me?
Well, son, you dropped the torch. You didn't keep a tight rein on things.
Do you have this same kind of conversation with my cousin Peter, who's just a little bit older than me? Do you tell him that he ruined this country? Because he's one that ruined the country. Jail time, drugs, breaking the law, and just
you
constantly
know,
in trouble. I've never been in trouble.
The problem with you is you were raised predominantly by women. That's the problem.
Uh-huh.
Because you disrespected your father so much. Mm-hmm. You didn't learn a damn thing from him. You picked everything up from the women.
And
they taught you everything wrong.
Who raised you, Grandpa? You know, I don't think I've ever gotten into this conversation with you because he was long dead before I was even born. Who was your father, my great-grandfather? Who is he, and who raised you when you were a little boy? Pack of wolves? A pack of wolves?
That's funny you say that, because that's the answer that I would give to a particularly attractive young lady who was sitting in a bar in the middle of the afternoon.
Who raised you? A pack of wolves.
I
want to know this for family history. I love that genealogy stuff. And I don't think I ever asked what was your father's name?
Stanislav.
Stanislav. That's then shortened up would be Stan. So I'm like the fourth.
No, because I wanted to be the first.
But you weren't the first. You're
I am number one. Don't you ever forget that.
You are
number three.
So that would make you a junior. And I don't know. You don't know how I feel about juniors.
I'm no junior.
You're a junior. If your father's name was Stanislav, you're Stan the second, a junior.
And for Christ's sake, why are you asking me? When you're sending me all this boring material about Ellis Island, this and that, and good Lord.
I want to know about my genealogy. Tell me about your mom. What was your mom's name, and did she raise you? Did your mom raise you? You were raised by a woman, your mother. You suckled right at her breast.
Well, of course, that's what mammalians do.
Huh? What was my great-grandmother's name? I don't know. What was your mama's name?
I just called her Mama.
You didn't know when you had to fill out your paperwork for the draft and all that stuff for the big one? And you had to put down your parents' name? You'd put down Stanislav and who?
Mama.
You can't put that down.
Mama Nowoliak. You know, I give you a good name, and I don't know what it was, but evidently you and your father came up with an idea that Nowoliak wasn't a good enough name.
Because you've been spent the whole generation pronouncing it wrong.
Oh, the hell it is. It's a good American name.
That ain't an American name. You are just one screwed up man. I mean, you can't even tell me your mother's name, Mama.
That's what I call it. It makes perfect sense.
When she had company over at the house when you were a little boy growing up, what did the company call her?
Hey, you. Haven't seen you in a while. How have you been?
What did her husband call her?
Woman.
So you called her
woman.
You called her mama.
Woman, get me a beer and fix me a sandwich.
You called her mama. Your dad called her woman, and friends over the house said, "Hey, you."
And then after he'd have a couple of drinks,
yeah,
he'd go, "Woman, there's going to be some changes around here." But yeah. There never were.
Certainly. So would you say you were raised by your father, or were you raised by your mother?
Oh, I just ran wild.
You ran? What, did you not take discipline from anybody?
No. What I would
That explains
do,
a whole yeah, lot.
My father and I had an arrangement.
Yeah?
He didn't care what I did. However,
look at it. He's smoking in the home.
Okay, Nancy. Pull your dress up, straighten your undies. We had an arrangement.
Yeah.
That I would run wild and do whatever I wanted. But if it was something illegal or something he didn't like.
Yeah.
I knew the punishment ahead of time, but we had a little saying back then, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Or in this case, a knuckle sandwich. Let's say I went and stole a package of Necco wafers from the pharmacy.
Right, they were popular back then, those Necco wafers.
Well, that would get me a good, hard, open-handed slap. And I enjoyed my candy.
Those of you who have followed this show, this is so bad. I can't believe I'm on the air mentioning this, but it's my life. Those of you that follow the show know that about a month ago, I purchased a Corvette. Now, let me just state this for the record.
And you convinced yourself it was a good idea.
Oh, I still think it's a good idea.
The same brain that thought bringing a predator into your home was a good idea.
But let me explain. In the beginning, I had some problems with the car. Got that all taken care of, and I also am a firm believer that car had to have been stored because the more I'm running it. And the more I'm putting it through its paces, the better the car is running. All the little creaks and what have you are all going away because this thing just needed to be blown out.
Mm-hmm.
Been in the garage too damn long, and now it's purring like a kitten. I thought, and I should have known better, I thought that when I got this Corvette, you know, I'd take it around town.
A lot of looks.
A lot of young ladies would be turning their head going, who's behind the wheel of that automobile?
It's a midlife crisis.
Well, I have to admit, unlike any other car that I've ever had since I was a kid, a lot of talk,
lot of talk on the street.
Head turner?
A lot of head turning, but not by the people I thought would be head turning.
We're hoping.
Everywhere I've gone in the past month with that car, every man and woman over the age of 70 are just flabbergasted. I mean, they're stunned when they see it. I went to a Mexican restaurant guy stopped me at the door. He's there with his wife and his buddy and his wife. Where'd you get those wheels on that Corvette of yours? Those are some hot wheels on that. Those are specialty rims. Are those the 19s on those? I said, yeah. That's a badass car you got. And it's like, well, thank you very much.
I'm a badass myself. Yeah, yeah. That's why I require a badass car.
I see you trotting around your oxygen tank with you. So I was at the Best Buy yesterday. I pull that thing in. The car is running so tip-top. And I pull in, and right next to me pulls in a old Crown Vic. Either a Crown Vic or a Mercury.
A Mercure, maybe?
Old guy gets out of the car. He's got to be 75, 76 years old. Big a T-shirt, two sizes too small, gut hanging out. He goes, you need me to take that car around the block a few times for you while you're shopping. You're a funny man. You're a funny man. I go and I pull the car into my complex, and Dot is getting ready to pack her things back up.
So you're turning a lot of heads, just not the ones you thought you were.
And Dot comes up to me and wants to know, when did I get such a beautiful car? It still gives me goosebumps to see that vehicle.
And I'm God.
And then
it's like your online dating profile all over again.
Yes, nobody.
Hoping to pick up a nice 30-year-old, and here comes the grandma. Yeah.
Then I, and this was a couple of days ago, when I finally got my official license plate in the mail. And, you know, you get people that see something different, and I'm thinking, you know, all right, there's one of the granddaughters could be coming up to me. Hey, nice set of wheels. Now, guy comes up to me, 80. Got a nice car here. You belong to a Corvette club?
I said, or you must.
I told you, you got to get some folding chairs and get ready.
So I said, no, I don't belong to a Corvette club. No, just got the Corvette. And he says to me, stay right here. My son-in-law lives over in the next complex. I'm going to get him to come on over, and you two can talk Corvettes and Corvette, because he's one of the founding members of such and such Corvette Club, and he'd love to talk to you if you want to join up. He'll tell you what the dues are.
You know, I am surprised that this didn't hit me immediately.
What?
Because I think you'd be the first to agree
what?
That most parts of your life resemble country songs. This is no exception. Okay.
I stopped off at the Quick Sack for some beer and
is this Tom T. Hall?
No.
Who is it?
Possum.
Oh, is it George? As he stirred at oh, yeah, now I know it is.
Hey! He said I had one just like her son in 1963. Hell, a man down at the bank took her from me.
Well, she was hotter than a $2 pistol.
She was the fastest thing around. Long and lean, every young man's dream.
This is your wife now.
This is it.
In town.
Had one just like
she was built for fun.
Let me get my son-in-law over here. No, that's all right. Again. You don't have
she
to.
Reminds me of the one I loved back then.
Your life is a country song.
He'll sign you up. In more ways than one. We got to take a break.
Anybody volunteer for a ride yet?
Oh, they all.
I handed him my keys and said, here, take her for a spin. The old man scratched his head and then he looked at me and grinned.
He said, son, you just don't understand. It ain't the car I want. It's the brunette in your vet that turns
the brunette
me
in your vet, yeah.
I had one that was hotter than a $2 pistol. Yeah. He was the fastest thing around. Long and lean and every young man's dream. She turned every head in town. She was built and fun to handle, son. I'm glad that you dropped in.
Yeah.
Put that Alabama Wildcat in the passenger seat. You'll have your hands full.
He'll tear up
all the old cat lovers will be coming up to you.
Is that your kitty?
In your Corvette?
Is that your baby?
Yeah.
Oh, what a beautiful car.
So sick.
How long have you been retired?
I'm glad that you dropped in.
Yeah.
She reminds me of the one I love.
How fast have you had it?
Swear to God. Your life is a country
she
song.
Reminds me of the one I love.
Do it to yourself.
Yeah, I do it to myself. I love that car, though.
She's hotter than a $2 pistol.
We'll be back.
You can read all about them in the latest edition of the National Enquirer. It's a pleasure to have Adolpha Stokes on the phone. Hi, Adolpha.
Hi.
How are you? Is that how you say your first name?
Adolph. Like Adolph.
Adolph. Like Adolph. Adolph.
Only O.
Well, welcome to the show. Congratulations on the nice article in the National Enquirer.
Yeah, he said he's going to write me a good article about it.
Pretty good. Now, according to what the article says, you're blind.
Yeah, and I'm legally blind.
And you wrestle alligators.
Well, I wrestled them professionally for 2 years after I went blind, but I've resigned now.
Can you tell us what caused your blindness?
A macular degeneration.
So it kind of like faded on you?
Yeah.
Over the years?
Yeah.
So can you see at all?
I got probably 10%.
And you're going, and you will go and handle alligators
that. Once I get a hold of him, he's mine then.
Now, the article says, though, and this is what I find quite fascinating. I mean, you've been dealing with alligators a good part of 40 years.
Yeah, I used to poach them for a living. But,
now, was it legal back then?
No, it wasn't. I spent about 6 months with the feds for doing it in 1970 when they caught me with a boatload of them.
You had to do 6 months in the federal prison?
That's right.
Wow. So back then, I mean, they were very, very endangered. But what would you do? Go out at night and hunt these things for their pelts?
Yeah, hunt them with a spotlight. And but them days, it was like $25, $30 fine if you got caught with a truckload. But I got caught by the feds, and so I got 6 months for it.
Do you remember how you got caught? What happened? How did you finally get pinched?
I had a speedboat. I outrun everything. Wasn't nothing catch it, but. One night, I went up a dead-end creek with a boatload of them and sunk my boat, and they come in there and got me.
Well, and the alligators, too.
And the alligators, too.
You were describing in the article, and tell me about this. I mean, you would go, and when you were poaching these things illegally before you did the 6 months in Fed prison, you would shoot these alligators with a shotgun. And sometimes that wouldn't even do anything to me, and you'd have to jump in like 15 feet of water and get these things.
Yep, I've done it many a time, and I taught my kids to do it. I finally got after my kids got big enough, I'd carry them along and let them dive them up.
Well, what's the secret? What did you teach your kids?
Well, just how to do it.
Is there a secret, though? I mean, is there, you know, you naturally don't go right for the mouth.
Well, no, yeah, you got to get on his back and get that mouth shut, and then you got him.
And then you got to worry about the tail or anything?
Well, after you get on him and straddle him in the middle like a horse, well, that tail can't do much to you.
No, but if you're getting these things like in the old days, and you're in 15 feet of water and you got to land an alligator into the boat, I mean, how do you get an anchor? How do you get on an alligator if you're trying to swim in 15 feet of water?
Well, I have a hunt knife on my side, and I stab him right back of the head, and that goes right direct to the brain, and it killed him instantly.
Oh, so, but you got to get the knife in there first.
Yeah, that's right. But usually when after you shoot them like that, they're pretty much docile, but sometimes they start rolling with you, and you have to turn them loose.
Yeah. Now, when you got out of jail and you did your 6 months, did you go back to poaching again?
Right back to it, yeah.
Any guesstimate over the years of how many alligators you probably pulled out of the Everglades?
There's no telling. They claim they were put them on the endangered list in 1970, and about a month before they put them on there, I went and killed 40 head out of one river.
And how much, in those days, I mean, who would you, being that it was illegal to hunt alligator and you would sell the skins, I mean, how would you go about doing that? I mean, you'd have to trust somebody to, you know, pay off for these things without getting caught.
Yeah, well, people come and you had two or three buyers that come right to your house and buy them. But then when they put them on the endangered species list, you couldn't sell them in the state of Florida.
So, well, you have to go out of state.
I sold them in Atlanta, so a guy up there, QC Plot, he got busted up there, and that's what, then we got, he busted all the buyers. He had records of all the hides he bought. And so I went back 6 months for interstate transportation.
So, all told, how much time have you done, Adolpha?
Well, I'd hate to tell you. About a year for that and about 3 years for conspiracy to haul pot.
When was the last time you actually put your hands on a gator and did a little wrestling?
National Enquirer did it. What day was that? About, I don't know. It was about 2 weeks ago.
And so you actually got in there and...
I got in there and did it. I practiced before he got there and made sure I could do it.
Yeah, ever been badly hurt?
I've been bit all the way to the bone many times by little ones, but I've never been bit by a big one. I was always too good of a pro for them.
Got to be, now, at 70, the reflexes have to slow down a little bit, right? I mean, it's a bigger risk now, especially, of course, being blind is one thing, but it's a bigger risk now with reflex-wise than, say, when you were, 30.
Yeah, well, I've wrestled pro for 2 years after I went blind, but I finally decided it was time to quit, so I'm retired now.
And your wife's going to be happy about that?
Yeah, she sure is. She worried about me all the time.
They pay you money to have your story in there?
No, they sure don't.
You probably would have liked to have made a few bucks off that deal, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would have. Poor blind me. Well, I hadn't got no income, but they think the publicity does it, which it does. It gives them a lot of publicity, but it don't do me any good. I guess they think I own part of it, but I don't.
Odolph, thanks so much.
Well, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Right, troubled man.
Hello?
Hey. Hey.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Hey.
Tony? Tony D'Amico from Cape Crepe and Chowder. What?
Hey.
Hey, Tony. Boy.
My buddy, Haiti.
Yeah, very funny. He's doing well, and because I know you ain't calling about how I'm doing, and I don't really care how you're doing. Well, how do you like them apples?
You know what? There's been too much that's been said in haste and anger, and I think it's about time we buried the hatchet. Once and for all.
Tony, I have said for months and months and months
like a son
that I am willing to bury the hatchet.
That means the world to me, Stan, because I got to be honest. I'm speaking to you today with a heavy heart.
Oh, what's wrong, buddy? You know what? You're like a father to me. You are. What's the heavy heart, Tony, old buddy?
I think that I may have injured a mail carrier.
What's going on with you? What's going on with you?
Well, what I did on Saturday is I probably did too much of a good thing, and I put on the mailbox, postman, please see me for food.
So what happened? The postal worker came in and saw you and what?
I had a couple of 50-gallon drums of stewed tomatoes that was about to turn. And this guy looked like he might have been older than me. And I walked around to the back with him and I said, you know, I got a bad back or I'd help you carry these out to the truck. And he said, no problem. Thank you for your donation. This is going to feed a lot of people. See, he didn't know they was about to turn.
Well, wait a second. Drums.
I probably would have had to pay somebody to haul it out of.
How is this good? How is this good? First of all, food that is in drums that is about right. to turn is
a
not...
restaurant quality.
Well, good for restaurant quality, but it's about to turn. It's supposed to be small canned items. You're not supposed to have some old mail carrier carry out 55-gallon drums of turning stewed tomatoes.
You know I got a bad back.
Hey, why? I evidently hurt him. So what did you do, Tony? Stand around with your hands on your hips, supervising as an old man's tried to carry drums of stewed tomatoes?
Well, I got a business to run.
There's nobody in your business.
In there, I gotta watch the register.
Yeah, you gotta. Well, there's no cash in the register either. That's why you're throwing out spoiling food, because nobody eats that crap.
That is not true. I always keep change for a $20 bill.
Okay, well, it's $20.
And ooh. When he goes to get the second one out of the storeroom, I don't know how to describe it. It was just a yelp. I thought it was a dog. Just like, you know, when you kick a dog and it goes,
they yelp. That wasn't a dog, though, was it, Tony?
But no, because dogs can't say, oh, Jesus, I think I threw my back.
Tony, what happened then?
I tried to convince him to get up. I said, hey, pal.
Yeah, that's what you said. Hey, pal.
Hey, pal, you okay?
He just cried out for and help.
He's on the floor, just laid out, and said, I can't move. And I said, come on, fella, you're from the old school like me. You walk it off, right?
You walk it off. You didn't help him.
You want a cigarette?
Did you call an ambulance for him? Did you go and get paramedics? Did you call somebody to get him to the hospital?
Well,
yes, sir. That's a yes or no. You bonehead.
Eventually, yes.
Eventually?
I said, you know what, fella? How about we let you rest for a good 15 minutes, half hour? If you don't feel better.
The guy,
his eyes were rolling over and he said, oh God, please.
The guy's on a
mail room. Okay, I get it. I'll pray with you.
What are you thinking?
I did eventually when he didn't answer me no more. So at that point, I called up the non-emergency number to the hospital.
After he stopped, the man's in pain. He stopped answering your questions and stopped talking to you.
He was just kind of shivering.
He's going into shock.
Well, I thought that, you know, he was showing signs of movement and he might be getting ready to get up.
He wasn't.
But anyway,
so you're not emergency.
You know, I don't want to tie up, you know, the 911.
Right,
that's
for
real emergencies.
That's for real emergencies. You got a federal employee on the floor of your restaurant going into shock, and you're praying next to him as he's begging for help.
I was respecting his wishes. He wasn't speaking, but I don't think he was unconscious. And I said to him, I want to get you some help, but I'm a small businessman. I can't afford the premiums I got, much less getting them jacked up because of a slip and fall. If you won't do nothing to me, squeeze my hand and I'll get your help. So he very weakly squeezed my hand. And at that point, I was still on hold with a hospital. And then I hung up with them and I called the 911.
Yes.
And I said, unbeknownst to me, somebody was in the storeroom, and I think they might be in medical trouble.
What, unbeknownst to you, what are you saying, that you were having a break-in? So not only are you throwing this guy under the bus, You, I can't believe this.
And so the police came, and they took the statement, and I said, look, I don't want to press charges.
You don't want to press charges? You know what?
And as they're taking my statement, they had a couple of, what do they call them? Paramedics?
Paramedics. That's who you should have called right off the bat, you bonehead, stupid idiot, jackass.
They showed up after the cops. And then the next thing you know, there's a big production and the helicopter and all of that.
Helicopter?
Well, they ended up, they said, you didn't move this man, did you? I said, no, I didn't touch him. And they put a brace on him, and they put him in a helicopter.
Airlifted him. He was that severely hurt. They had to airlift him.
And the police, they were very nice, and they said, you know, you're a big man not to press charges.
You know what? I was going to go and bury the hatchet with you. You're about as bad as they come. You're cheap. You're too big. What's the moral of the story, you stoop meathead?
Me and the mail carrier had a real moment when we was both praying. Me
praying?
On my knees, him on his back.
He was in shock. He didn't know what the hell was going on.
And I did some prayers of my own.
Yeah, I bet you better pray now.
And he prayed with me because I said it's going to take a miracle to save this business. And you know what, Stan?
What?
With all the hubbub, with the sirens and the helicopters and whatnot, that was the best Saturday I've had in 5 years.
Recently, Dave the Waterman was asked to remove himself from his place of residence. That request came from his parents. With nowhere else to go, he appeared at the home of his longtime friend, Stan Nowalonic. Sometime earlier, Stan's wife had thrown him out, requesting that he never return. Now, can two grown men share a condo without driving each other crazy?
Ah, what a beautiful day for a drive. Got the new sports car. Let's fire this baby up. Oh, I love this car. What the hell's this? This is a brand new car. What? Oh, man. All right, let me shut the engine off. Gotta go upstairs and call the dealership. Thank God it's under warranty.
Woo! All right! Yeah, man! Rock and roll! Yeah!
Dave, will you turn that godforsaken music off?
All right, man. All right. Chill. Chill, bro. Chill. What's up, man? What's the matter, bro?
I gotta call the dealership. There's something wrong with my new car.
Hey, no problem, Stan. No need to call no dealer or nothing, man.
Nah. This car is under warranty, and I'm not having you touch this thing.
I can go down there. I'll have it going. No problem. No muss, no fuss, bro.
Seriously?
Yeah, dude. Come on, bro. I got this, Stan.
Can you work on that? Do you know? Is that what you're doing?
Come on, it's me.
All right, Dave. I'll trust you. Go on down and see if you can find out what's wrong with my car.
You got it. Oh, yeah, man. Some extra nuts and bolts. Yeah, we don't need those, man. Those are just spares. Yeah, that doesn't fit right. Let me just squeeze it in there. All right. Yeah, close enough. That'll work.
That Karen Carpenter. As the voice of an angel.
Hey, Stan, good news, bro.
Hey, you fixed my car?
All fixed, man. You're all good to go, bro.
Are you serious? You fixed the car?
Purring like a kitten, man.
Oh, well, I'm going to take it for a test drive. You come on with me. We'll see how this baby runs.
Let's go, bro. Woo!
I'm surprised, Dave. This thing actually runs beautifully.
I told you, man, I know what I'm doing.
You can work on cars. You did a great job on this thing.
Thanks, bro. Pedal to the metal, Stan. Let's punch it.
All right, Dave. After all, it is a sports car. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, go, go, go. Woo!
What the hell? What is that? What the hell?
Oh, man.
What? Why am I now coasting?
Stan, I think we just dropped the block.
Dang!
All women are crazy. And so are we. No wonder things have gone so smoothly for us in the romance department. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney, let's quickly go to the text line. A lot of texts came in over the break.
As per se to my story about what happened to me in the pickup truck with my beans. Blah, 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 blah. I don't want to hear it. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I know.
I've heard the story multiple times, and it never gets easier.
This is from our pal, the Chicken Man. Says, hey, guys, you say all the time, but I don't know what it is. What is exactly sugar belly?
Well, Dave is the expert.
Yeah, that's just when you have intaked so much sugar, you get aches. It will ache from sugar. Have you not had so much sugar that, you know, like when you sit down on Halloween when you're a child and eat like a whole thing of candy and get sugar belly?
No. Is it kind of like when you wake up in the morning and you drink a Mountain Dew and haven't eaten anything and your stomach starts killing you like 20 minutes later?
Yeah, you get that funky feel, man.
That just gave you a new idea for an answer.
No. D-Train's obviously had sugar belly.
You said it's like an ache.
Yeah.
Yeah, like an ache. It's just from
next,
too much sugar, man.
Text. Unnamed. The bong water, because Dave was talking about bong water daiquiris.
Mm-hmm.
The bong water filters out all the gross crap you don't want in your weed. Waterman is full of...
I don't know who this
guy is. He's calling you on it, man.
No, I don't know who this guy is.
And I have to agree with him.
Dude, look. You went to college, Stan, right?
Last time I checked, yeah, I did.
Right, okay. There's a few things that I don't even know. Can I even talk about this? About, like, scraping water bongs?
No, Haney's got to do
get
news.
Get resin and
all
stuff?
Right?
Okay, well.
He's got to do news. You would smoke that resin, wouldn't you? You'd scrape that
sometimes,
screen.
Dude, when you don't have nothing.
Smoke it.
You don't have nothing. But, hey, I try everything once, Stan.
Something's more than once.
Yep. Dateline Cape Coral.
Damn right.
Driver arrested for driving into crash. A 79-year-old man was arrested after driving into a pre-existing crash scene, hitting two patrol vehicles, and then hitting the already crashed vehicle and the tow truck that was loading it. Police say it happened around 10 p.m. last night on Del Prado Boulevard. The vehicle, driven by one Eugenio Pepe... There's his picture there. Came upon the scene and struck an officer's patrol vehicle, pushing it into the other vehicle's path. The driver then continued striking the already crashed vehicle as well as hitting the tow truck it was loading it onto. Pepe was arrested on 4 counts of reckless driving with property damage, and of course he needed medical treatment, so he was transported to Lee Memorial Hospital and then to the jail.
Well, he did right out in the middle of the damn street.
Yeah, and he kept ramming. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
This is Eyewitness News with Ernie Anastas, Roseanne Scamardella, Warner Wolf, Spencer Christian.
I'm Joey King.
And the Eyewitness News team.
Nice.
Hi, this is Peter Arnett, and here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today. Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. When Donald John Trump becomes the 45th president of these United States, he will have the ability to text every man, woman, and child in America anytime he wants, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Because his texts will be unblockable. Now, how is this possible?
How?
In 2006, Congress passed the Warning, Alert, and Response Network Act, which established wireless emergency alerts. These are 90-character messages that can be sent to every cell phone. It can be nationwide or sent to a certain geographic area. There are three types of these, and you've probably seen them. I know we have. Mm-hmm. Amber alerts.
Yep.
Alerts involving imminent threats to safety or life, and alerts from the President of the United States. Now, as it turns out, you can opt out or block the first two types of texts.
You can? How?
I'd ask him.
Yeah. D-Train would know.
However, there is no way to block a text from the president if he chooses to send you one.
You know he's chomping at the bit to do that.
Which means that if Rosie O'Donnell needs a taste of her own medicine at 3 in the morning, we would all get it.
Good. Good.
The system is a bit more complicated than tapping out a tweet. And it has to go through FEMA. And, of course, the director of FEMA is picked by the president and will do as he's told if he knows what's good for him. It probably will not be used to insult the cast of a certain Broadway show. A message went out to New Yorkers in September to keep an eye out for a bombing suspect named Ahmad Khan Rahami. Now, here's the problem with this system. There was no picture, just like with these Amber Alerts.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot send messages through the or images through these messages on this system. So the alert basically was look out for a 28-year-old Muslim looking fella.
Ha.
And while that worries the Muslim community that it could be abused. But that's what that system is. And I didn't know the name of it before. It's called a WEA, from the Warning, Alert, and Response Network Act. And you don't get them very often, but when you do, it's weird. It's
WEA-FM. Like that. It's like a radio thing.
No, it's really not. No, it's not that fun.
WEA-FM.
No,
yeah, I know.
What was that? I didn't know my phone could make that noise.
Makes a good noise.
Yep. Poor Chelsea Handler.
Aw.
She's rich and famous. So why can't poor Chelsea find a man?
Take a look. No. Look at her all you want. That ain't Chelsea Handler. There she is.
Oh, God.
She thinks people wants to see that on her Instagram all the damn time.
No, I don't.
We can only speculate, and lucky for us, we're quite good at speculation. Stan, why do you believe that Chelsea Handler can't find a man?
Any other questions?
She's crass. She's argumentative. She's soft in body. ugly in face. And just high maintenance.
And she's coming off as desperate lately.
Very high maintenance.
Oh. Does she think that's flattering?
She posts them on Twitter at least once a month.
It's not. How do you know? You follow her?
No, because when she does, then it gets retweeted and
everybody's
crap,
yep.
Well, she has her own theories as to why she can't find a man.
Sure.
Or trap a man,
right,
if you will.
Corner him.
She told Peephole Magazine.
People?
Yeah. Quote, and this is how her mind works.
Yes.
Everyone is gay or married. I've got to wait for a bunch of people to get divorced, I guess. I don't get asked out. No one is knocking at my door. People try to set me up, but the guys that want to date me, I'm not that interested in. And the guys I want to date don't seem that interested in me. A sad state of affairs for a 41-year-old woman.
Look at this.
That's a hard 41.
And that's rough.
Woof. And these aren't hacked. She's sending these out.
Yeah, she happily posts them on her Twitter page.
Jeez. What a mess.
Well, like my Grammy used to say, that one's been beat with the ugly stick.
Damn skank.
In a moment.
And now, back to Haney's News on the Stan and Haney Show.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly from the Fox News Channel with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, something tells me Stan's going to have fun with this one.
What?
Cue the violins. There's an 80-year-old gent in Gulfport, Mississippi, named Kenneth Smith.
Mm-hmm.
He lost his lovely wife, Helen, to cancer about a month ago.
That's sad.
Kenneth and Helen had been living off their combined Social Security money after they drained their life savings to pay her medical bills. Mm. Obviously, that wasn't a good investment.
No. And let me tell you something. With her passing, he gets more in his Social Security now, because when you have multiple Social Security going, it's less.
And now that Helen is gone, he's receiving less money.
Hey, that's not so. Well, he probably took her check as well.
Kenneth has been trying to make ends meet by selling bags of kindling on the side of the road for $5 each.
$5 for kindling? That's like charging a friend $70 to wash their car.
Well, suffice it to say, this hasn't been quite the financial windfall he anticipated.
Chop kindling.
But then a Ms. Budinsky, who had been paying full price for kindling out of kindness, I suppose,
sure,
felt the need to post about it on Facebook last month.
For attention for herself.
And helpfully linked to a fundraising page that Kenneth's son had already set up. Over the last week and a half, complete strangers from across the globe have decided it would be a good idea to give this man $100,000.
$100,000. Hey there, old-timer. Chopping some kindling, are we? See, you got the overalls on to give it the full authentic look.
That's a world-class grift.
Yep. And don't kid yourself. This lady who is now moved in, this Miss Budinsky, knew darn well what was going on. Attention for me. money for us.
Look at me. I'm a good person.
Yep. Please talk about it. I'm a good person. Make it on every news.
Yeah, I don't want any credit for it, but make sure you credit me.
Yeah, make sure my name's spelled right.
Oh, and by the way, I got photo credit on the pictures of the old man.
Good, 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 good. Is that Miss Budinsky next to him? Or is it a family member like his son or daughter who could have helped the old man out?
That may be his dying wife. I don't know.
That isn't his wife.
Well, it looks like in happier times.
She looks too damn good. Speaking of looking good, where's my girl?
Stop it.
You tell me if you think this girl's
you
pretty.
You are watermelon. Playing with fire.
Not her. Not Chelsea Handler.
Oh, God.
Huh? My girl or Chelsea fine. Handler? There she is. There's my girl.
What's up with that girl?
Yeah, she's something.
What's wrong
she?
With her?
Nothing.
You sure about
Nothing
that?
Nothing wrong with her.
You can't spot it, Dave?
Yeah.
Look in the eyes.
Oh, yeah.
What do you see?
Psychotic.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Do not.
Dude, she'll bite your thing off, bro.
Jeez. You always got to take it to that level.
Well, I'm just...
That's a mugshot, Dave. What do you think she did?
What do you think she did?
She's a prostitute.
How dare you talk about her like that?
Isn't she?
No.
I'll kick your ass.
She's a victim of circumstance.
Yes, she is.
She got busted because her ex was already in jail. She wanted to make sure he stayed there, so she sent him drugs in the mail to try and set him up.
Oh, that is just
no,
stupid.
No, she was afraid of him.
Now look at her.
Yeah.
Locked up with all the other ones.
I'm sure she's out now. I keep asking D-Train, but can I find her Facebook page?
I can't remember her name.
Instagram.
Thank you, D-Train. A man from Ada, Oklahoma, by the name of Riley Harmon, had a few guests over on Sunday night. According to Mr. Harmon, they were threatening him and refused to leave. Now, according to Riley Harmon, that left him with very few options.
Yeah. I'm very tired.
They wouldn't leave. They're mouthing off at him.
Yeah.
Did the only thing he could do.
What's that?
Set his apartment on fire. Fire department got there quickly, put the fire out before it spread to other units, but O'Reilly's place was totally gutted with about $40,000 in damage. No one was hurt or killed in the fire, and the only person that got arrested was Riley himself
for
first-degree arson.
Well, he's not going to have any privacy for a long time.
If you see something, say something.
Yep, that's what we're taught.
We also watch too much Law and Order SUV.
That's what I call it.
Doesn't matter how normal or natural something can be, we can twist it into some sort of horrific crime.
Of course.
A man from Australia was walking on the beach last week when a mysterious blob washed up out of the surf. This man immediately knew what he was looking at. Had to have been a breast implant from a female murder victim.
That's right. Get a SUV down there to go and get the serial numbers off that implant. We can find out the manufacturer and find out who our victim is.
He immediately leapt into action, secured the evidence himself, and drove it straight to the police station.
Did he now?
Now the police are the professionals here.
Yeah.
So they examined it. He explained what it was, but for some reason they didn't believe that it was a breast implant from a murder victim because they got an eyeball on it and explained to the man that he'd just hauled a dead jellyfish across town.
Right there. There it is.
Aha!
Yeah. Look at that.
Oi!
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, a 25-year-old woman named Carson Kidwell, both K's, was arrested for shoplifting from the Walmart in St. Augustine last week.
Come on.
What did she steal?
What?
A DVD of Magic Mike. And a nice extra large dry salami.
Please tell me there's a mugshot. Please tell
me. When the police officer asked Carson Kidwell why she stole the items, she replied, quote, "It's hard times."
Ain't that right, Dave?
God, woman's got to do what a woman's got to do.
In addition to Magic Mike and the big salami, she also helped herself to chicken, batteries, tools, and DVDs of the Hollywood blockbusters, The Campaign, and Bad Teacher. Because she accumulated so much crap, she's actually facing grand theft charges.
Oh, I bet. I bet. Do we have a picture?
Okay, she a prospective freshman at Stand Reform School for Young Ladies?
Zoom in there.
Oh, she's hot.
Oh,
jeez. Oh, man.
I think her roots might be showing.
And yeah. And she's
hard times,
she
man.
She just learned to speak English.
What?
She's not from here.
She looks like Eastern European. Yeah.
Her name is Carson Kidwell.
That's what she told authorities. Her real name is Slavana Chekhov.
I thought it was Ludmila Petrikova.
Ludmila. Oh, God. What a mess. And she's older looking than what she claimed. 20 what?
5.
Jeez. Right.
She's pretty.
Dog ears. What do you think, Dave? Would you hit that?
Any port in a storm, man.
No, man. Yeah.
She's looking.
That's the news for, well, so's Chelsea Handler. Turds Day, December 1st.
Dave, you need to get on that train. She's got money.
I will tell you right now, you would not turn that down.
Are you kidding me?
I know for a fact you would not.
He'd turn it down now.
Chelsea Handler or that chick?
No, that chick.
No,
that,
no
that,
I wouldn't that turn chick. That one
the
right
lifter.
There.
The hard would, salami.
No, man. He would no. In fairness to Dave, he would turn her down now. But when he's in his garage at 3 a.m, he would not
no.
turn her down.
He'd be he'd be chatting her up.
You come walking down the street. Hey, you want to have a cold beer?
We'll be back.
Thank you for meeting me.
Anything for Iraq's highest ranking general. We've been through a lot together. What can I do for you?
You remember about 9 months ago, you said you were going to pull out of Iraq?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you totally pulled out.
Pretty sure that I pulled out. Yeah, I pulled out and dispatched my troops in Kuwait.
Maybe you think you did, but you must have left a few Navy SEALs swimming around, because now I have an American military base in my country.
We were so careful.
You went in with almost no protection.
Okay, but I have good control of my army. I know when to pull out.
Yeah? What about Vietnam?
It was years ago. I didn't know what I was doing.
Well, nevertheless, we have to do something about it.
How do you even know it's mine? It could be British or French.
Because it looks just like you.
Handsome.
And anyway, I haven't been invaded since you left.
Really?
Oh, like you care, huh? All the time you were inside of me, all you could think about was being inside of Iran. Oh, who's that? Pakistan? What, are you invading Pakistan now?
No, I don't know. It's complicated. Look, Maybe I stayed in you a little bit longer than I meant to.
I kept telling you, pull out, pull out.
I didn't want to leave until you finished. You know, rebuilding a stable government.
I can finish myself, thank you very much.
Okay.
Oh, I shouldn't even come and talk to you, you know that? I'm going to give your military base to the Germans. They've been wanting a military presence forever.
Wait, wait. I want to keep it.
How are you going to pay for it? You can't afford a military base. You can't even afford your own health care.
We'll make it work. I'll talk to China. I'll take out another loan.
You would do that for me?
I do it all the time.
Oh, that's nice.
Do you remember when I first invaded you? You had something special.
Yeah. I guess I like the attention.
Of course you did. We can have that again.
What about Afghanistan?
Oh, I'm going to be in that slot forever.
I'm Steve Downes. Some of you may know me as the voice of Halo's Master Chief. In 1997, Bill Clinton was president of the United States.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Princess Diana was laid to rest. And the Florida Marlins won the World Series.
And the Florida Marlins are world champions.
That was also the year Stan and Haney began doing afternoons on 96 K-Rock. They said it would never last. Some even plotted to make sure it would never last. But for some ungodly reason, they're still here. Stan and Haney, whether you like it or not. Afternoons on 96 K-Rock.
This is Coach Bobby Bowden. You're listening to Stan and Haney on K-Rock.
You know, we always talk about Stan Luck, but...
And it's now... I've been around you too long, and now I have Stan Luck by proxy.
Mm-hmm. It happens. I saw somebody today that had a taste of Stan Luck because I was
they
there.
They don't like it.
And it was in the vibes you have, were coming off.
You have lived with Stan Luck since, what, your 21st birthday?
No, I'll tell you when Stan Luck kicked in. It was before 20. Stan Luck kicked in at, well, yeah, 20.
Yeah, because 19, you were still having a little fun.
I was having a whole lot of fun.
And then Stan Luck kicked in, and that was it. And when you were 20, you erroneously had the hope that, well, maybe this is just a temporary thing. By the time I'm 30, this won't be happening to me anymore.
Things go in stages. If things are supposed to balance out, you have bad luck, good luck.
Because did you know.
If you didn't have bad luck, you wouldn't know what good luck is.
Well, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck
at
all.
That's me!
But you think, at 20, all right, I don't know if I can handle this, but I'll get through it because it'll get better.
Right.
But little did you know that it was only going to get progressively worse.
I'll get into
it. And it's just different dreams that are shattered at different points in your life. It's all been taken from
you. I'll get into it right now since we brought the subject up of Stan Luck and no luck at all. And do you see, I'm just about done with this, but you see I have my daily coffee.
That's, and I don't criticize that. I think it's silly, but I understand that's you treating yourself.
Well, yeah. And it is the lard. I won't name the name of the place, but
it's the lard.
It's the Vente, and I love it. I love their coffee. Stan Luck rubbing off on somebody else. I felt so sorry for her.
So this was Stan Luck by transference.
Yep. This is my, was supposed to have one, but this is my second one. I didn't get a chance to drink my first one.
Pardon?
What is this? Okay. All right. So, I went to the drive-thru to get this. Usually I'll go
inside.
And
that's unusual, yeah.
And it's unusual.
Because you go inside hoping you can lift a silver certificate off them.
Yep, which I've done. But I'm in the drive-thru to pick up my Vente Bold.
A Bold Vente?
Yeah, that you have your blonde, you have your medium, and you have
your
Bold.
You know what? They have fetishized this more than marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
I want the good stuff.
This is the stuff that gets you going. And on a good day, I'll tell him to throw in a shot of espresso in there.
Because when I think bold, I think of A1, where it gets you here and here.
That's what this does. You know what I'm talking about.
It gets you here and here?
Yep, you know what I'm talking about. Yes. In front of me, in the drive-thru, you can't make a story like this up. It is so stereotypical. In front of me, in the drive-thru.
And do you know when this is starting to happen?
Oh, yeah, I felt it right then and there.
Okay.
In front of me was a Crown Vic.
Sweet.
With two old men in the front and their two old lady blue-haired wives in the back seat. They were going out as a for their daily drive.
That's my dream for us, is that one day we have one Crown Vic between us.
The men in the front seat, the old women in the back, they're in front of me. And so they pull up to the window, I go to the speaker, order my coffee, and the girl, that they're just delightful over at the coffee shop. Hi, my name is...
You're a regular.
Hi, my name is Cindy. How may I help you today? I hope you're having a good morning. Blah, 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 blah.
And you pay for that premium, and you're happy to do so, because someone
is...
You're paying someone to be nice.
Yeah. So I put my order in, and I pull up behind the Crown Vic, who's still waiting to get their four smalls, small coffees... Because they don't want to spend the big money. They just want a small coffee from...
Yeah, but your... what is yours again?
Venti.
Your Venti contains more coffee than all four smalls.
Correct. So, these... Again, your old people, Crown Vic, retirees who feel that they're entitled. And it starts there.
That's almost not worth it. Why would you... A small...
Well, that's their saving. They're penny-pinching AARP. I think with AARP, you get 10% off.
What do you mean you think? You should know. You've got the card, don't you?
You do get 10% off.
But have you been ashamed to use it yet?
I haven't used it yet.
Well, that's a line. I understand. Once you cross, you can't come back.
You can't come back. So the girl reaches out of the window, cute little thing, hands them their coffees... And you can see the man hands her a $20 bill.
Crisp.
Crisp 20.
That's like one you get in your birthday card.
And so the old man that's driving was just, I could tell by looking at the back of his bald head, he was a jerk.
And you could tell this by the back of his head.
And that I sensed Stan luck in the area, the mist.
That is quite a talent. I mean, that is full-on situational awareness.
So the barista...
Well, what's that?
Coffee girl.
Oh, at the drive-thru?
Yeah.
All right. They don't call that them that where I go.
Hands him his change. He reaches out his hand, and she puts the coins in his hands, and then I see her as plain as day. There were some ones in there and a five and it, with the change, and she puts it in the palm of his hands, and he doesn't grab it. The money, in a strip club raining, goes everywhere.
Old man made it rain.
Yeah. And because you're right there at the pickup window, you're in a wind tunnel to begin with the cars lined up there.
And you can't open the door.
And she puts the coins and puts the money on the top, and he doesn't grab it, and it's flying everywhere. I'm right behind him. Oh, my God! Oh, my God! The old man didn't make any effort to pull forward, didn't make any effort to... She had to leave her post at the drive-thru window, run around out front, and you see her in the parking lot with traffic all over the place, picking up the money as he and his old buddy and the two old ladies in the back do nothing to go and assist her. She finally gathers up. One of the bills went underneath the car. The other bills went around the corner. She's picking them all up. Meanwhile, line of cars behind me. And she gets it all and puts it back into his hands again. And you actually see her put it in his hands. And she closes his palm so he can go and bring it into the car. She's so flustered. He pulls out the Crown Vic, pulls out all four of them, got their coffees now, and waited the extra 3 or 4 minutes so she could run outside and gather up all the money for them.
Bend down and crawl under the car.
Under the car.
For $3.
So I pull up behind her, and she is so flustered. She comes up to the window and has got my Vente. And it's on the counter, and I don't pay with cash. I've got my card. It just zips right through. The coffee's up on the counter, and she goes, "I'm sorry about that, sir. It's just been one of those days. Here, let me get you." They put a little stopper in the top for you. She goes, "Let me go and get you." As she reaches over, she hits the top of my coffee. The top. Everywhere. Thank God, not in my car. But,
oh, because then you would have gone from sympathetic to overly aggressive.
Precisely! Went all over the counter.
I want to see a manager. This broad's been dropping change and spilling coffee.
And she starts to well up. It starts whimpering and starts crying.
Which, of course, amuses you.
It didn't amuse me.
Yes, it did.
All right, a little bit. I tried to calm her down. She says, "Sir, I'll get you another coffee, please. I'm so sorry.
Please.
I'm so sorry. Because Vente Bold is dripping everywhere."
Mm-hmm.
With cream, with the Splenda.
Yeah.
It's dripping all off the counter. She's pulling out paper towels, trying to soak stuff up. She's crying. And I said, I put a little calm into her. I said, "Please, take your time. Everything's all right. I know that you're having a difficult day." And she looked at me and she said, "You have no idea." I said, "Everything's fine." And I went and I took my coffee and to show you how much I did care and I'm willing to pay for amusement, I went in my money clip and gave her a buck.
No. No, you didn't.
You take this, sweetheart. You've been through enough. Now, keep in mind, this is a $2.30 cup of coffee, and I gave her a buck, so I'm giving her like 40%.
Oh, yeah, boy. So that took a nothing day and suddenly made it all seem worthwhile.
Oh, I felt so bad for her, and it was only because I was there.
Yeah?
It was the only reason.
And then again, because you have a habit, well, not a habit, but a God-given talent of being able to psychically read people from the back of their heads.
That guy was a jackball. I just, Crown Vic.
You never saw his face.
Never saw his face. Just
back of his neck,
back of
you
his
knew.
Neck. Yep, he had the white hair with the bald crown on the top, and his buddy had a golf cap on, and then the two old ladies in the back seat. And the money, it was like it was raining in a strip club.
I know you like that place.
I do like that place a lot.
I'll confess something, too. I have my own drive-through issues.
Yeah.
And I'm not ashamed to admit it. I actually not that big a fan of the food at Chick-fil-A.
You're not?
Yeah, it's not bad, but I'm not.
I like it a lot.
But I'm not nuts about it like people are.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It's good food, okay?
I enjoy it.
But
fries.
A lot of people go out of their way to go there. I won't. If it happens to be there, I'll go through. But sometimes I do it on purpose, and I'll just go through and order a drink. You know why?
What? Styrofoam cup.
No, because I know they're going to be nice to me.
Oh, they are always nice at Chick-fil-A.
And I'll say something like, "Could I get an extra straw?" Even though I don't want one, because they'll say, "My pleasure, sir."
Yeah, and you're talking about my amusement?
Yeah.
That's your amusement.
Exactly, because that's the only place treats me like a man.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll talk about what I wanted to start the show about. We'll talk about it next break.
What are you talking about?
Company picnic this Friday.
Oh.
Get a covered dish. We're going to be back.
Steaming hot bowl.
I'm told that we're expected to attend and bring something.
Well, we got to take the day off then.
No. Oh, no.
What?
No.
We can't.
It's just for lunch.
Well, we have no way of doing that.
The engineer is bringing his German potato salad. And the guy, Randy from Death 106,
mm-hmm.
He's cooking up Randy's Baked Beans. That's all going to be there.
That should go well with my onion and garlic casserole.
We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.